Amen. Thank you so much for that wonderful music. It's good to be back in the land of the living. It feels so weird to be back. Whenever you miss a couple of services, it throws you off, and it kind of just throws you off track. So it's nice to be back. It's nice to see the vision that our pastor has. Go 2020. Go 2020. I know what he has in mind for this year, and it's going to be a challenge. Things are going to change. Things are going to be different. Things aren't going to be how they normally were. Things aren't going to be not in motion. Our pastor has a vision for this year to go and to mobilize disciples for a mission. I hope that you'll get on board with that. It may get you out of your comfort zone. But James says our life is but a vapor. It's here one moment and gone. Would you get on board with that? I'm so excited for this year and the difference that our church is going to make for the kingdom of heaven. And there's no greater cause. There's a time and place for politics. There's a time and place for community event. There's a time and place for all those things. But the biggest and the best, the greatest, is the Great Commission. It's to go. Will you go? Will you get out of your comfort zone this year? This may be your last year. This may be it. Will you go? Jesus had one prayer request. He said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." Will you go? Will you be a harvester? Will you bring in the sheaves? This year, we all have a role to play. Will you play your role? Will you do what not only our pastor wants us to do, but more than that, what Jesus himself asked us to do? Would you stand with me as we turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 16? Luke, chapter number 16. Luke, chapter number 16. Luke, chapter number 16. I'm going to get right to the point of my message tonight. And it may be something that's totally new to you. It may be something that's very familiar to you. Either way, I want to challenge you to do it. Luke, chapter number 16. The title of my message tonight is Three Reasons to Go Soul Winning. Three Reasons to Go Soul Winning. You say, well, what is soul winning? So whenever you talk to a person, not just about the weather, not just about the school system, and not just about your kids, those things are great icebreakers. But to win a soul over to Jesus Christ, to win a soul into heaven, and there's nothing that we can do that puts that person into heaven. There's nothing that we can do to save them from their sin. But we can win them over to Jesus Christ. We can win them over with the gospel. We can win them over with the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. We can win them over with that. You want to know why? Because somebody won you over with that. It may have been through a bus ministry. It may have been through your parents taking you to church. But you're here tonight on a Sunday night, on January the 12th, because you want to be here. You're here because somebody cared enough about you or your parents or your grandparents. Somebody cared enough about me. And now my parents are faithful members here. You never know. What you say to somebody may change the direction of their life. You never know what kind of person you're going to win over. You never know whose family you might change. Because you are willing to get out of your comfort zone and go. Luke chapter number 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate, full of sores and desiring to be filled with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Would you listen to this next part? And in hell, he lift up his eyes. Being in torments, he seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. I want to draw your attention to this next two verses. Then he said, this rich man said, I pray thee therefore, Father, listen to this, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Folks, tonight I want to win you over to soul winning. I can't do that. Only the Holy Spirit can. Only the Holy Spirit can put in your heart a desire to go out. Can I ask you something? Do you believe in hell tonight? There's a rich man in hell tonight that believes in hell. There are untold millions and even billions of others that believe in hell tonight. There's a father that's begging you to go to their children's house and to tell them about this place of hell, lest they come into this torment too. There's a mother tonight in hell wishing that Bible Baptist Church would send someone to her children and to her husband, lest they come into this place too. There's a teenager tonight in hell that wishes that some deacon, some Sunday school teacher would be sent to tell their parents about hell, lest they come into this place of torment too. Do you believe in hell tonight? The purpose of soul winning is to rescue people out of a fiery hell that lasts forever. Let's read those two verses again. Verse 17 of Luke chapter 16. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Let's pray. God, I can only do so much in this sermon. I can only do so much in preaching your word. Lord, would you change a heart tonight? Would you give somebody reason enough to go knock on a door, to tell the clerk, to tell their family member, to tell their cousins, to tell their friends that there's a real hell, but that there's also a real heaven? Lord, it would be evil of us if we wouldn't tell those what we have obtained, and that's everlasting life. God, would somebody tonight make the decision that it is right and it is biblical to go soul winning? The city of Dumas isn't, they're not barging down, they're not knocking down the churches of Bible Baptist Church. So would we go knock on theirs? Not for church growth. Not for an influx of cash. But because there's a hell that awaits them if we don't tell them. God, would you do something tonight? Would you move in the midst of us tonight, please? Would you pierce the heart? Would you help somebody to have compassion And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. In my generation, I've watched Dumas go from a small town. In my generation, I've watched Dumas develop. We have new housing. We have a new hospital. We have new restaurants. The plant alone is planning to bring in thousands of more people to Cactus. I've seen, on my way home from work, I've seen a Wendy's built. I've seen a new dentist's office and a chiropractor's office. I've seen these things, and I've seen a new hospital under construction. And if you can think about all the construction that goes on in Dumas, in my generation alone, in the past few years alone, there has been a boom of people in this community. Oh yeah, some have moved away. Some have left our tiny town. But may I submit to you tonight that there's families sitting at home tonight, maybe watching TV, maybe scrolling on their phones. All the while, they have no idea that a flaming hell awaits them. All the while, they have no idea that their neighbor who says that they're a Christian, their neighbor who says that they've been saved, and never once told them about it. All the while, they're lifeless. There's no light within them. They don't have what we have. We've all seen people coming into this town. We've all seen foreigners coming into this town. We've seen a lot of people. We've seen families. We've seen single adults move into this town, become new to this town, put their children into this town, put their children into the school system, send their children to the YMCA. We see them all around buying groceries. We see them all around at the red light. None of us know if they know that they're going to heaven. It's a very real subject, and I understand that this is kind of heavy, but this is a heavy subject. We've all seen just this influx of people. We've seen people flood into our town. None of them know. Some of them don't care to know that they will die one day, that death does await them. They can cancel dentist appointments. They can cancel chiropractor appointments. But they cannot cancel their appointment with God. We can't either. But we have hope. We know that because the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we know because we put our faith into that. We haven't put our faith into our money. We haven't put our faith into our good deeds. We haven't put our faith into attending a church service. But it's because we put our faith in someone. And that's how we know we're going to heaven. They don't know that. They don't know that it's that easy. I understand why people think that Catholicism, that people who are Catholic, I understand why they think that that is what God wants. I understand why they think that they have to do A, B, and C, and D to be able to get to heaven. I understand why, because we have a supernatural, almighty, powerful God that it would make sense for him to require all of those things. But what they don't know is all it takes is faith. And that in the matter of a moment, they can know that they're going to heaven. In the matter of a moment, their eternity changes forever. Is a matter of a moment too inconvenient for us? Is the matter of a moment of taking time out of our daily schedules to tell somebody about the death, burial, and resurrection of a real God that loves them? And that it's because of our sin that we're separated from God, and because they've done wrong and we've done wrong. It takes a matter of moments for them to put their faith and trust into what we put our faith and trust into. Is the matter of a moment too inconvenient for us? Are we so busy that we cannot take 2 minutes to tell them about something that we say we gave our lives to? You have the responsibility, and I have the responsibility of, as a Christian, to tell others about Jesus. Can I tell you why? Because it would be evil of us not to. it would be evil. You would be evil. I would be evil to not tell them that there's a real fiery burning hell where they will suffer for eternity. And to know that I walk into these doors every single time, knowing that the moment I die, I'm going to be with God. It would be evil of you to not tell your family members. It would be evil of you not to tell your cousin. It would be evil of you not to tell your enemies. It would be evil of you not to tell your teachers. It would be evil of you not to tell your clients. It would be evil of you not to tell your patients. It would be evil of you not to tell your coworkers. It would be evil of you not to tell your neighbors. It would be evil of you to not tell your grandchildren. It would be evil of us. We would do not well. I remember Brother Justin preaching about that a long time ago. We do not well if we don't tell people. We need to tell others. We need to tell Dumas. We need to have compassion. You know what compassion is? Their hurt in my heart. Their hurt that they carry. Their burden that they carry in my heart. I'm not saying complex. I'm not saying that that's always in excess the best route to go and to just totally throw everything, to throw your life into their misfortune. But what I am saying is this, is that they have a future somewhere. Will you throw yourself at them? Will you be willing to embarrass yourself even a little bit for their eternity? Would you be willing to take 2 minutes out of your day, 2 minutes out of your grocery trip, 2 minutes out of putting gas in the pump, 2 minutes of knocking on a door to let them know about forever and ever? For eternity. To tell others that there's a real hell and there's a real heaven, there's a real Jesus. And I know that the longer and longer that we get off in time, the less relevant Jesus becomes. But can I tell you something? He hasn't come back yet, so he's still very relevant. The only time that somebody will ever be out of the reach of the love of God is whenever they are in hell. But as long as they're walking on this earth, there's hope. You may be the hope that they need. You may be the one that they need to finally tell them what they've been missing all their lives. So why go soul winning? Why go soul winning? Why potentially get rejected at the door? Maybe even embarrass yourself. Why would you go and do this? Hi, my name is Robert. I'm from Bible Baptist Church. I want to give you this track, and our times are on the back of this. And it tells you how you can know today that if you were to die today, you could go to heaven. Before I leave, I'm not going to take up any of your time, but right before I leave, I want to ask you this. And I don't want you to answer. I just want you to think about it. If you were to die today, if today was it, if today was the last day you were ever alive, would you go to hell? Or would you like to go to heaven? Did you know that? And it was great because Christmas was just around this corner. We celebrate Christmas this time of year, and there's a real God in heaven. There's a real God in heaven that loves you so much that he gave his only son to die for you and for me. And if you were the only person left on this earth, he would do it all over again. But he loved you so much. No matter the bad things you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter even where you're at now, he loves you so much. He gave his only son for you. But not only did he send his son around this time of Christmas, he grew up and he lived a perfect life for you and for me, because we couldn't live a perfect life, because there's things like taxes and there's things like marriages. There's things that make us do wrong things sometimes. But not only that, he grew up, he lived a perfect life, but he died on a cross for you and for me because we couldn't do it on our own. He did that a long time ago for you. But not only did he die, he also came back to life to prove that he is God. And there's no amount of money you can give. There's no church service you can attend. There's no baptism you can have. All those things are good. But it's simply by putting your faith in him. And we can do that right now. It doesn't take very long. But I want you to read this tract. I want you to promise me to read it. We would love to help you with anything that we can. Our service times are on the back of this track. We hope to see you soon. And right before I leave, I'm not going to have you answer this question, but I want to ask you again. If you were to die today, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? We hope to see you soon. Right before I leave, is there anything that I can help you with? Is there any questions you have for me? Well, thank you. Have a nice day. I hope you read that track, and I hope we see you soon. It takes that long to give somebody the gospel. It takes that long to give somebody the gospel. Oh, yes, you'll have some people that, and I've had a lady at the very end of Floyd. I knocked on her door, and I gave her the exact same thing, but before I could even get out the church that I'm from, she said, no, thank you, I just don't want to talk about that today, thank you. And she closed the door. Oh, there'll be some people that reject you. But then there'll also be people like Jesse. I knock on his door, and it's foggy, a little bit cold. To others who are already getting ready for bed at about 4:30, you go to their door and you knock and you tell them about this. And he's on his phone. I give him my name and where I'm from, and he says, can you please hold? And I sit there and talk with him for about 4 minutes. There are those who will respect you. There are those who will compliment you and tell you thank you. I respect you for getting out in the cold and doing this. Thank you for coming to my house. I'll see you soon. I haven't seen him. And that's okay. I don't go soul winning because I think that it's going to grow our church. It may. That's a byproduct of it. But I go because there's a real hell. I go because there's real people living real lives. And I'm not saying it's because I'm anything great or anything spiritual. But I just believe enough tonight that there's a real burning, fiery hell that people will suffer for eternity if I don't tell them something about it. Will you go? Will you say, hey, Robert, would you? I want to go with you. Teach me how to do that. Would you say, Pastor, would you teach me how to do that? Ask one of our deacons, would you teach me how to do that? I want to do that. You may not be able to knock 500 doors a week. I started one block a week, with one block a day. One block. That could be anything from 5 houses to 15 houses. One block a day. You don't have to. I wouldn't be at a place already to do that. But you may be a little bit lacking of courage, and that's okay. You can build yourself up to it. But you went, and you were obedient. He said to go. Go. You went. Soul winning is way, way more about being obedient than seeing fruit. Soul winning is not all about seeing them get saved right there on the spot, although that's the goal. But more than that, it's you being obedient. I can tell you right now, I have never felt more like a Christian, more like an obedient Christian than I do. Whenever I go door to door knocking on a block. It'll change your home. It'll change your marriage. It'll change your attitude. It'll change your outlook on everything. You want to know why? Because you're finally seeking first the kingdom of God. I've been convicted about that for a long time. It's been knocking on my heart for a long time. Why don't you go out? Oh, don't get me wrong. Grow is good and it has a time and a place. Follow-up is good. I'm not against follow-up. But I'm just a little bit more for soul winning. And going out and knocking on a door, knocking on a business, stopping somebody that's walking their dog. Oh, it's confrontational, all right. You may not always know how to spark up the conversation. You may not always know what exactly to say. You may not always feel comfortable. But that's why it's called getting out of your comfort zone. Depend on God for what you're going to say. Oh, don't get me wrong. I would say go out with a game plan. But I wouldn't say go with a rehearsed script. The one thing you need to go out with is compassion. Compassion. Knowing that the door you're about to knock on has an eternity behind it. They may reject you. They may say, not now. They may not even answer. The doors that didn't answer, the next time you go back out on that block, Knock those doors, the ones that didn't answer. Don't leave Dumas untouched by what has touched you. Do not leave Dumas untouched by what has touched you. I want to give you three reasons why to go soul winning. Three reasons. Number one is because those in hell are begging us to be sent. Those in hell are begging us to be sent. Look at verse 27. This rich man, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. I pray thee, I beg you. Go to my family. I beg you, go to my cousins. I beg you, go to my town. I beg you to go to my workplace. I beg you to go to my brothers. I'm begging you, Lord. Would you send someone? There's a rich man in hell tonight. He's still there, and he's still begging. There are millionaires in hell tonight, as well as the poor. Still begging that somebody would be sent. There's a rich man in hell tonight that believes in hell. There are people in hell tonight that believe in hell. There's people in hell tonight that wish there was a Bible Baptist church deacon, that wish that there was a Bible Baptist church Sunday school teacher, that wish there was a Bible Baptist church member to go to their door, to go to their family's door, and warn them about what's to come, and warn them about a place where their family member is at. There's somebody in hell tonight that is begging you to go. There's somebody in hell tonight that had everything that they could have here on earth. They're begging you to go. Go do what? Tell them about heaven and how sweet it is. To tell them about heaven and how long they can be there. To tell them about hell and how fiery it is. They want, they're begging for somebody to be sent. They're begging. I wonder if there's more people in hell tonight. I wonder if there's more people in hell right now that want soul winners and evangelists to go out more than Bible Baptist Church does. Is there somebody that's in hell tonight that wishes way more that somebody would go to their family member's door? Do they wish for soul winners more than we do? Do they wish for church planters more than we do? Why do we have a grow outreach team? Why do we have Crossroads Kids? Why do we have Sunday morning service? Because there's a real hell tonight. You may be sitting in here, and you don't know. And you've been wondering, whenever I die, will I go to hell? You can get that settled tonight. Because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, there's nothing you can do, there's nothing I can do. It's all because of what He did. And the same is true with soul winning. Will you go? In 2020, will it be the year that you started getting out of your comfort zone? In 2020, will it be the year that you finally did what the Great Commission told you to do? Will you go? We all have neighbors. We all have family members. We all have friends who are going to die and go to hell in the next few days, in the next few years. We all have those family members that we're just a little bit too intimidated to tell. Some of them you only see once a year. I know it's not easy to tell your coworkers about hell. Trust me, I've done it a lot. I've told them about heaven a lot. It's not up to me to save them. They have to want to be saved. There's only so much you can do. Absolutely. Did you do what you could do? Did you do it? Did you go? Did you tell them about hell? Did you tell them about heaven? Because it's as real as I stand here tonight. If you're saved tonight, can I tell you point blank and unapologetically, it would be evil of you and it would be evil of me to not tell someone about a very real hell. There are those in hell tonight that are begging us to tell their family. They're begging us. Will you go? Will you tell them? There's a story of a pastor and an evangelist who went to visit a young man in a rough part of Chicago. This evangelist was preaching a week-long revival. And the pastor said, hey, let's go make some visits. Let's go make some visits. The evangelist said, all right. The evangelist, there was nothing he could do to prepare for what he was about to see. There was nothing he could do to mentally prepare for what he was about to witness. The pastor and this evangelist, they get out of their car. They get to the apartment complex where they were going to go, and they walk up a long flight of stairs. Knocks on a door. He says, is Scott home? Does Scott have some time to talk? The young man that answered the door was Scott's brother, 20 years old. He said, yes, Pastor, he has some time. Why don't you come in? They sit him down, and they sit the evangelist down and in the living room. And this 20-year-old brother goes down this long hallway, and he knocks on the door. He says, Scott, Pastor and the evangelist are here to see you. About 10 minutes pass by. This 20-year-old young man is wheeling his brother to the living room. This evangelist had never seen what he just saw. This evangelist had only seen this kind of thing in pictures. He'd only heard this kind of thing in the news. There was a 19-year-old boy sitting in a wheelchair, burned to a crisp from the crown of his head to the bottom of his feet. He could only really wear short sleeve shirts, because the pain of the clothes was just too much to bear. This pastor talked to this young man. He said, how's your pain? How are you holding up? This young man says, Pastor, I feel like I'm on fire all the time. They go on with this visit and they encourage the young man. This pastor and the evangelist, they go back to the car. The evangelist is just stunned. The pastor says, do you want to know what all that was about? He said, a year ago, this young man in a drunken stupor walked into some electrical lines. And it fried him. Not just on the outside, but from the inside out, he was burned. He says, I'm on fire all the time. Folks, can I tell you that there's a hell tonight where people are on fire all the time? There's no 5 o'clock go home. There's no lunch break. There's no end of a long day. It's just fire all the time. A fire that doesn't go out. There's someone in hell tonight that isn't talking about partying anymore. This rich man is begging for a drop of water. I can tell you right now, people in hell aren't going to get their six-pack they thought they were going to get. It's not the party they thought it was going to be. It's fire. Forever. Will you go? Will you go and tell someone about this fire? Isaiah 6 and verse 8, he says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Will that be your prayer tonight? Say, Lord, here am I. I'm available. I can do it. I'm able-bodied. Say, Lord, I may be in a wheelchair. Lord, I may have some disabilities, but I'll do what I can do to tell people about hell. I'll do what I can do to tell people about Jesus Christ. I'll do what I can do. Send me. Those in hell are begging to be sent. Those in hell are begging to be sent. Why go soul winning? Why potentially get rejected at the door? Why even embarrass yourself a little bit for this? Can I give you a second reason? Those in hell don't want others to be there too. Those in hell don't want others to be there too. Would you look at verse 28? For I have five brethren, that they may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of, what's the next word? Torment. Would you say that word with me? Torment. One more time. Torment. This place of hell is no party. This place of hell isn't fun. This is a place of the most wicked, gruesome, painful torture. It's torment. Right this second in hell, there's a husband who wishes someone would go to his widow, tell her how she can avoid coming to this place. There's a mother who wishes that there was a person who would tell her children about this place and how to avoid it. There's a teenager who wishes that another teenager would tell his parents about Jesus and how he died on a cruel cross for their sin. There's someone tonight begging you to go, pleading for you to go. Will you go? Will you tell them about a hell that they can escape? The best thing that you could ever do in this life for another person, don't get me wrong, you can be generous, you can be kind. The best thing you could ever do for anybody else, oh, don't get me wrong, you can be a great example. You can be a great counselor for somebody. The best thing that you can ever do for anybody else is tell them the gospel. Not just inviting them to church. There's a time and place for that. I think you ought to. But telling them about a real God that loves them so much. This real God loved you so much. Will you go tell others about him? There's wise things that we could do with our finances. There's wise things that we could do with our time. There's wise things that we could do with our talents. But can I tell you what Proverbs 11:30 says? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. You can plan. You can budget. You can help. You can have a strategic plan on your retirement. You can have a strategic plan on your 401k. But can I tell you that the best and wisest thing that you can ever do is win a soul? Because you know what awaits. You know where they're going. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. So why go soul winning? Why potentially get rejected at the door? Why potentially embarrass yourself a little bit? Because those in hell are begging us to be sent. Those in hell don't want others to be there too. But thirdly and lastly, it was Jesus' only prayer request. It was the only prayer request that your Savior ever had. We have a time that we take up prayer requests in this congregation. We have a time that we take prayer requests for the needy and for the sick. And we need that. But you would agree with me that anytime anybody ever gives a prayer request, whether in public or in private, that represents a burden. They care about it so much to say something about it. Jesus had one prayer request. Would you turn to Matthew chapter number 9? Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9. Jesus is talking to his disciples. Jesus has just got done healing an untold amount of people. And he hadn't even scratched the surface. They get done with a long day of ministry of healing people, Jesus and his disciples. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages. Pastor, could you imagine going to every single town in Texas and preaching? That's a long day. Could you imagine going to every single town, talking with people and healing their diseases, and still knowing you hadn't even scratched the surface? Verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, when he saw, and I'm sure he knew the number, but to us, an innumerable amount of people, he was moved with compassion on them. Church, will you put the gas of compassion in the car of your spiritual life? Would you put the gas of compassion in the car of your spiritual life? Their hurt in your heart. Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, he looks at his disciples, he looks at the men he's teaching, he looks at the men he's training. He says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Bible Baptist Church, can I tell you this? That over 15,000 people in this community represents a plenteous harvest. Do we have laborers tonight that will go and labor in this harvest? He's straight up with the word that he uses. Labor. It's going to take work. It's going to take sacrifice. But do you have the compassion to match the sacrifice? It took me 15 minutes to hit 10 doors. I can tell you right now, I've done almost the entire street of Floyd on the East End. Altogether, it's probably taken me about an hour. I don't know. I wish I would have counted. I have them written down, but I should count how many houses that is. And I'm not saying this because I think I'm some sort of spiritual giant. That's not why I'm saying this. But I'm giving you a real life example of how long it would take to reach an entire street, at least an entire side of a street. It doesn't take long. It takes sacrifice, and it takes some labor. It takes some strategy. It takes some love. It takes some compassion. It takes some gas money. It takes some courage. But will you go in 2020? You can't spell gospel without go. You cannot spell the word gospel without the word go. Will you go? Will you look across the street? I'll get to that in a moment. And talk to your neighbors. Or start on the total opposite end of town where you don't know anybody. And you'll more than likely never see them again unless they end up coming to church sometime. And knock on their door and tell them that there's a real heaven and a real hell. 15,000 people plus is a bountiful harvest. And all those people will spend eternity. They will spend forever and ever in one of two places. In heaven or in hell. But will you play a part in someone spending forever in heaven? Will you play a part in someone spending forever in paradise? Will you play a part in that? Would you be willing to go back to the door that didn't answer? And not just leaving the track and saying, I've done my part. You've done something. Yes, absolutely. You're obedient to go. But will you come back the next time you go out, door knocking, to that door that didn't answer? And give them the gospel. And don't leave without giving them the gospel. Keep it very short. You keep it very brief. It's very easy. There are those that will want to sit and talk with you. There are those who will say, thank you so much for this. You may see me sometime. You never know. The candlelight service that we had a few weeks ago, I know I saw two families. I knocked on their door, and they came. Because the Monday before the Tuesday that we had candlelight, I hit their street and knocked on their door. And I'm not saying I'm anything special, but I'm saying that there was an invitation and there was a presentation of the gospel. And they came. You may not see the soul won. You may not see them bow their head to receive Jesus, but you may see them the next week here sitting in the pew. And that's worth it all. So worth it. I don't know who the next pastor of this church will be or the next after that. I don't know who will be the next and the next and the next. Our pastor will not live forever. There will be another pastor that comes up after him and another one after that one and another one after that one and another one after that one. But I hope that the generations to come will know that in 2020, Bible Baptist Church began to knock on doors seriously. Bible Baptist Church, the people that they looked up to, the generations behind them began a huge movement. Will the next generation of Dumas, will they see Bible Baptist Church still knocking on doors? Will they see Bible Baptist Church and will they say, here come the Baptists again? They're trying to get us saved again. Will they come? Will they see outside their door? I don't know the next pastor of this church what he'll do. I don't know what the next one will do after that. I don't know what the next one will do after that. But will people be able to say, there was a church that loved them? Will the next generations, will they know that in 2020, people got on fire because there is a real fire? Will they know? Will they see that we really believed what we preached about? There's a real heaven and there's a real hell. Will you be a firefighter? Will you be a firefighter of hell? Will you try and quench the fire for somebody else because they were helpless against themselves? Will you do that for someone else? It was Jesus' one prayer request. We read that again, chapter 9, verse 37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. There are those tonight in hell that are concerned with follow-up more than I am. There are those in hell tonight that are concerned more about soul winning than I am. There are those in hell that are way more concerned about us leaving a gospel track at Sonic. Are people in hell more concerned about people on earth than we are? Does their desire rival yours? Or will you say, my life is very short here, and I know where I'm going, and I want to take as many people as I can with me? Don't get me wrong, it's wise to set up finances. Don't get me wrong, it's wise to set up a will. But we've always heard that there's no U-Haul trailers behind a hearse. You can't take your stuff with you, but you can bring other people with you. Why go out soul winning? Why go out door to door hoping to win somebody over to heaven, hoping to win somebody over to God? Well, firstly, because those in hell are begging to be sent. Secondly, it's those in hell don't want others to be there too. And lastly, it was Jesus' one prayer request for laborers to be sent. So this is why we go and do this. Hi, my name is so-and-so. I'm from Bible Baptist Church. I'm not going to take up any of your time. I just simply wanted to give you this tract. I hope that you'll read it. I hope that we'll see you soon. And right before I leave, I want to ask you this question, and I don't want you to answer. I just simply want you to think about it. If today was it, if today was your last day on this planet, would you go to hell? What percentage of a chance would you say that you're going to heaven? Well, can I tell you that there's a very real God that loves you so much that he sent his son as a baby to be born into this world and to grow up a perfect life, to have a perfect life, to be perfect because you didn't and I couldn't. But not only that, he died on a cross for every bad thing you've ever done. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, he still loves you so much that he died on a cross for you. But not only did he die, he also came back to life to prove that he was God, to prove that he could save people from hell and from their sin. This changed my life a long time ago, and it would just be evil of me not to tell you about this. It'd be evil of me. It can change your life too. It can change your marriage. It can change your family. I'm going to go now, but I'm going to ask you one more time, and I don't want you to answer. But if today was it, would you go to heaven? It doesn't take money. It doesn't take a baptism. It doesn't take going to a church service. It simply takes putting your faith and believing on what he did for you so long ago. Before I leave, is there any questions that you would have for me? Is there anything I can do for you? Well, thank you so much. Thank you for your time. Promise me you'll read that track. Our service times are on the back of it. I hope we'll see you soon. And then you go right to the next door and do it all over again. There was a pastor who for years lived next to an old lady. She was a widow. Him and his wife would go over every now and again. He would even try to invite her to church. She hadn't been in years. But he felt so bad for her, and so did his wife. So they would go over and play board games and have supper with her. And this went on for years. This went on so long. But it always bothered him that he never shared the gospel with her. It always bothered him that he never told her about hell and about heaven and about Jesus. It always bothered him. So one night, it finally bothered him so much. Put his clothes on. He got presentable and he went over. It was about 8 o'clock at night. And he finally got the courage to knock on her door and to share with her the reality about hell. And he told her that it was a place of fire that would never go out. He told her about heaven, how it was a paradise that nothing and no one could ever take her away from. And she sat there and she cried. He cried. His wife cried. They were so excited. So he told her, he said, "Martha, based on what I've told you, would you accept Christ now?" She wiped the tears from her eyes and she said, "All these years you knew this and you never told me? You're not my friend. Get out of my house and never come back." The longer it takes for you to tell somebody about the Jesus that you believe in, the harder it will be. I say that from experience. The longer it takes you to tell somebody about hell, the harder it will be. In 2020, will you go? And will you tell somebody that there's a real heaven and a real hell? Will you tell somebody that they can live forever, but they'll live forever in one of two places? Will you go? Will you want to win somebody? Will you believe that you can win somebody? Not because of anything that you are, not because you're anything special. He said, all power is given unto me. And he sent them forth. Can I tell you tonight, folks, that God is still sending us forth. And there's hope. There's hope for a lost and dying Dumas. Don't get me wrong, there's souls in Asia that matter to God, and thank God that we give to missions. There's souls in Africa that matter to God, and thank God we give money to missions to go to Africa. But would you replace sending money across the world than sending your feet across the street? Would you prefer to send a few bucks across the ocean and to get your fingers on a door across the street? Only the Holy Spirit can do the work, but you are obedient. Will you have compassion? And will you go in 2020? Will you go out and will you share with someone that there's a real, burning, fiery hell that they will suffer in eternity? Will you go and will you tell them that that doesn't have to happen? Will you go and tell them that there's a real heaven? Will you go and share with them the gospel? Because the gospel, preaching the gospel, is the power unto salvation. It's not because of your sales gimmick. It's not because anything in and of yourself. It's because this. He promises to bless his word. He promises that it will not return unto him void. Will you bank on that promise? Will you go? Will you endeavor to win a soul? Will you endeavor to be a firefighter of hell and to quench the fire of hell for somebody else, for a family member that you've been too intimidated to talk to, for a neighbor that you've been too intimidated to tell? The purpose of soul winning is to rescue people out of a fiery hell that lasts forever. Will you take a moment to put it all on the line for someone else's forever? Will you go in 2020? Will you go? Come to me, ask me, say, hey, I want to go with you. Come to pastor, ask pastor, hey, I want to go with you. Go to one of our deacons, say, hey, I want to go with you. I want to go knock on some doors. Tonight, you may be feeling this conviction, saying, this is the message you've been waiting for. This is it. It's time for you to get out of your comfort zone, because I'm coming back soon. Don't ignore that conviction. Don't ignore. Don't turn a blind eye to the very reality of hell. There's a rich man in hell tonight that believes in hell. There's a family in hell tonight that believes in hell. Will you believe in hell enough to go out and endeavor to win a soul? In 2020, will you go? Will you go? Would you stand with me? With every head bowed and every eye closed. I didn't preach very long, and that wasn't my intention. With every head bowed and every eye closed, would you ask God to do something in your heart tonight? Many are making their way to the altar. Is there something that you need to do tonight? You may need to be saved tonight. You may have fooled everyone else into thinking that you're saved, but inside your heart, you know that if you were to die today, you'd go to hell. Get that right tonight, because we would rejoice with you that you finally got it right. Would you come tonight and do business with God? The altars are open. As Brother Curtis begins to play, would you do business with God, and would you ask God to put a courage within you, to put a fire within you, to go out, to win a soul over to heaven? Father, would you bless this invitation? Would you work in many hearts tonight? For the one, Lord, that may not be saved, I'm praying, Father, that tonight would be the night that they would get it right. Lord, I don't know how this is going to touch someone. I'm hoping, Lord, that somebody would respond to this, that they would respond to you, not to me, not to the sermon, but to you and to your word. Lord, help us to realize that there's a real hell and people are going there every single day, every single moment. Would you help us to do something about it? And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.